All right, so Rothwell and Barnett. I'm biased. I'm not going to lie. I always tend to favor grapplers over strikers, especially really good grapplers. I'm always going to, you know, lean towards favoring them in a fight. But in this particular case, even more so, and it's basically because of that creepy laugh that Ben Rothwell did after the Matt Mitrione fight. I don't understand why he did it. If it was a marketing scheme, it worked. You know, it obviously worked because I'm talking about it. But I completely, like, now it's just every time I hear his name, I'm like, he's a cartoon. He's an imposter for some reason in my head. You know, I was like, nah, he's not really knocking people out. He's just in there to play games. Yeah, I don't take him seriously, even though he's knocking out people that are, you know, vicious striker like Alistair Overeem. So I'm going to put my personal opinions to one side and my favoritism to one side and base this, you know, breakdown on pure, you know, fighting style and skill set. Still have Barnett, regardless. Why do I still have Barnett? Well, because I don't think that Ben Rothwell has the ability to stop somebody with the grappling, you know, skill level that Barnett has. Just so you guys can have a picture of how amazing, you know, Josh Barnett's grappling is, he has submitted people that compete at a professional grappling level, and he submitted this guy that at a tournament called Metamoris that hadn't lost in 5 years via submission, and nobody had submitted him in 5 years basically. And this guy is known for, you know, having amazing leg locks and you know, heel hooks, just crazy leg submissions. And his name is Dean Lister, and the guy is really good. And Josh Barnett submitted him it wasn't really a neck crank, but it kind of is a neck crank, but it's more of a chest compression. And he submitted him with a chest compression and slash neck crank. So that just goes to show you that Barnett is still a high-level grappler and still has the ability to tap out pretty much anybody in that heavyweight division. Maybe not Wardoom, but he can tap out most of the people in that division. That being said, you know, I don't see, you know, whenever Rothwell has fought a grappler, it usually ends badly. You know, he fought Gabriel Gonzaga and Gonzaga tapped him out. He was taken down and ground and pounded by Hunt, and that guy is not a grappler. You know, I don't think he's a grappler. From what I know, Mark Hunt is to be a heavy-handed, you know, brawler. And of course, you know, Cain Velasquez took him down at will. Cain Velasquez took Ben Rothwell down 6 times and knocked him out, but he didn't knock him out standing. You know, he knocked him out with ground and pound. So that's a different story. I'm just saying that Cain Velasquez is a monster. And that's probably why he has a back injury. You know, can you imagine trying to take down somebody the size of Ben Rothwell? That's gotta be the reason why he's injured. After that fight, he herniated every fucking disc, I'm sure. That being said, yeah, I think that Barnett, either by submission, unanimous decision, or ground and pound knockout. That's why I see this fight going. It's a fight at the end of the day, and you never know with Rothwell. He can always, you know, land that shot and put him out. He did it to Overeem. He did it to what's his name? I forgot his name for a second. It is Brandon Vera. There we go. Sorry. He's done it to those people, and he's done it to a lot of other people. So it can happen. And I think that if Barnett goes in a little cocky and trying to test his striking skills, he might get caught and might be put to sleep. But my money, I would bet my money on Barnett. All right, so now on to the main event. Main event is between Anthony Johnson and Ryan Bader. If you've seen a highlight reel of Anthony Johnson, you would automatically think Ryan Bader is the underdog. I also think that Ryan Bader has, you know, is the underdog in this fight. I don't think he's the underdog. I don't think he's the underdog. I'm going to feel very bad for him if he gets hit in the face by one of those punches. Like, I feel extremely bad for anybody that Anthony Johnson hits in the face with those, you know, bombs that he has in his hands. You know, but I think there is some possibility that Bader can beat Anthony Johnson. All right, before you start going crazy, hear me out. If you look into his record, and you look Anthony Johnson. If you look into Anthony Johnson's record, he's lost 5 times, right? Okay, cool. 4 out of 5 of those times has been via submission rear naked choke. 4 out of 5. The other one was a knockout against a guy that I don't remember his name right now, but it was against a guy that he rematched and then knocked him back out. So I'm kind of canceling it out. I'm going to cancel that loss out just because he got him back for it. So in my mind, he's only lost 4 times and it's been via rear naked choke. So doesn't that, I mean, at least for me, I was curious. I needed to find out, you know, how is it that these people were able to get this guy to, you know, submit and say, uncle, you're talking about a beast, a savage. How did they get this guy to tap? You know, how did they submit this guy? And so I started looking through his fights, and I watched, you know, all 4 of those fights. And what I found completely interesting was, you know, and that's including, you know, even Josh Koscheck was one of the guys that submitted him. It was Josh Koscheck, it was Daniel Cormier, and it was, what's the name of the other guy that did it? Vitor Belfort. And the last one, I don't quite remember who it was, but it was early on in his career. I don't remember his name right now, but whatever. Let's get back to the point. If you watch those fights, first of all of them are really good grapplers. They're extreme. Koscheck, high-level wrestler. Daniel Cormier, Olympic wrestler. And Vitor Belfort, Carlson Gracie, black, old-school Carlson Gracie black belt. So they all know how to, you know, deal with getting taken down pretty well. And if you look back on to the Vitor Belfort fight, there was a lot of times where where Anthony Johnson was trying to take down Vitor, and he couldn't. You know, he did successfully take him down. I think Vitor tried to land a head kick, and for some reason, it was a sloppy head kick, and Anthony Johnson caught him, took him down, and wasn't really able to do much. You know, he landed a couple shots, a couple punches in the ground and pound, but Vitor was able to stand up and take the fight back to striking. And as the fight progressed, Anthony Johnson started to get tired, and when he got tired, apparently, he starts to use his wrestling and tries to take the fight to the ground. And he was trying to take down Vitor Belfort, and Vitor Belfort would sprawl, and the takedown would be unsuccessful, and Vitor would get back to his feet. But every time that he would throw, when they come in for that double leg takedown, his head and neck would basically leave it open for like a guillotine. And guillotining, you know, applying a guillotine to somebody that size, it's not easy enough. It's going to be very hard to finish. But he was very, it was like extremely slow. Like he didn't care about his neck or his back. He would just go in and for that double leg takedown, like fully exposing his neck and his back when Vitor would sprawl. One of those times, he was exhausted, went in for the double leg takedown, left his neck and his head and neck and just like his head, neck, and back are completely exposed. Vitor went around, took his back, did a little bit of ground and pound, and landed that rear naked choke. Tap. The guy tapped Anthony Johnson. Whoa. Wow. Okay. But the same thing basically happened in the, you know, Daniel Cormier fight, except with the exception of Daniel Cormier getting put on his ass from like a heavy, heavy-handed like strike to the face. And that, I think that's the moment when Daniel Cormier was like, you know what, fuck this. I'm not going to try to stand, you know, fight with this guy. I'm going to go back to my wrestling and play it safe. Because right after that, Daniel Cormier was all about closing that distance and trying to take Anthony Johnson down. And that's what he was doing. That's what he was doing the whole fight. And he got this, he wore this guy out in the second round. He was pounding him. He took him down. He was ground and pounding him. And man, he looked exhausted. Anthony Johnson looked exhausted. So in the third round, same thing. You know, he's trying to take Anthony Johnson down, and he's putting him up against the cages. And, you know, Anthony Johnson, like, gave him his back again. He gets extremely tiny. He gives him his back and exposes his neck for that rear naked choke. So again, Daniel Cormier wins via rear naked choke. So, what am I trying to say here? One, Anthony Johnson has power in his hands enough to make Daniel Cormier reconsider trying to be all, you know, boxer with him. And two, there's, when he gets tired, his wrestling gets sloppy, his grappling gets sloppy, and he exposes himself for that rear naked choke. And I think that there's a possibility that Ryan Bader, if he can survive that first round, there may be a possibility that he can win this fight. Maybe not by rear naked choke, but there's a possibility that he can, you know, pull off that decision win. And I think, you know, he should play it safe in the first couple of rounds. I don't think he should, because he doesn't have the wrestling caliber that Daniel Cormier has, like that ability to take and you know, impose his wrestling and grappling on somebody that Daniel Cormier has. And we know for a fact that Anthony Johnson has a reach advantage of 4 inches, so he has to be, you know, cautious of that space. And he's going to have to close a distance at some point. But it's going to be a lot easier to take down Anthony Johnson if he is, you know, overextending his punches to, you know, to knock him out. And I think if he plays like he moves around and doesn't really try to engage with Anthony Johnson, kind of like frustrate him a little bit, because he's like, he's quote unquote running away from him, and so he's not able to land his combinations. I think sooner or later Anthony Johnson's gonna get frustrated and try to land, you know, one huge shot. And that could be Anthony, you know, I mean, Bader's chance to take him down. And if he does that, he has to hold on for dear life and try to put as much weight on Anthony Johnson as possible. And as the fight progresses and Anthony Johnson is starts to get more and more tired, then he can start, you know, breaking him down and with his strikes and including, you know, some combinations here and there, and, you know, coming in, you know, a little bit more aggressively with the takedowns. But to start it off, I think he has to be, you know, use that wrestling in like a counter fighter, counter wrestling kind of way, and do it based off those power shots that Anthony Johnson's going to throw. It's not an easy task, but it is possible. I think that Ryan Bader can pull off a win if he plays it off like that. And if not, Ryan is going to get knocked the fuck out, and that's basically what's going to happen if he can't control the distance and the wrestling in this matchup. Which kind of sucks, because if Daniel Cormier is the champion still at that point, it's going to be the same fight it was the first. It was as the first fight. You know, there's no way that he's going to get his wrestling up to Daniel Cormier's level by then. Come on, it's going to be the same fight. So hopefully it's a good fight, and I'm completely wrong, and Ryan Bader, you know, wins via spinning hook kick to the face. You know, that'd be awesome. An upset like that, that'd be great. I always love when upsets like that happen, but I don't see it going that way. So good luck to both those fighters, man, to everybody that's fighting on that card. And, you know, we'll see what happens. So that's how I see things going down, and I hope you guys enjoyed my point of view. If you guys disagree, or, you know, don't see it going that way, or want to talk about something MMA related, please send me an email to EnriqueRivera@FightPodMMA, and I'll answer you guys to the best of my abilities as soon as possible. I'm going to probably do another episode after the fights, just to, you know, recap and talk about, you know, how things went down and how I, you know, viewed the wins and my opinion on, you know, what happens. And hopefully I'm praying it's a good fight. I'm praying that to see a good event this Saturday. And especially with, you know, the fact that Velasquez pulled out and Werdum pulled out of their, you know, their matchup. But I guess that's what you get when you take down Ben Rothwell 6 times. Your sciatic nerve doesn't want to help you out anymore. He doesn't want to take the abuse. So yeah, you know, you guys can download these episodes off iTunes, or you can go to my website and listen to it there at fightpodmma.com. I hope you guys enjoyed it, and until next time.